You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. And it's really great to have our new Waitemata and Gulf Islands councillor in the studio, Pippa Coombs. Coombe or Coombs?
Coombe.
Coombe, right, good.
Unusual spelling.
Better get that right from the start. Yeah, well, welcome along. Welcome
to Waiheke
Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, so we there was a bit of a chat with you in the election period that Shirin carried out an interview with you, but yeah, it's nice to have you here now that you're in the role that you have, you're reigning over us.
Officially sworn in last night, in fact.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, there's a whole kind of whole lot of that going on. Are you coming over for the Waiheke swearing-in on Monday?
Yes, I'll absolutely be there for that, and then I give my maiden speech on Tuesday.
Great. All right. So, yeah, and so things must already be, you know, shaping up and people kind of, I suppose, taking positions, taking sides, setting the agenda before you even get into the official meetings?
Well, the first thing is that the mayor sets the structure of council, so he's looking at what committees are going to be established and who's going to chair and deputy chair, and he's also announced last night some new things that he's going to be doing. One of them is setting up a panel to look at the CCOs, the council-controlled organisations, and how we can improve accountability, because of course that's a big issue that's come up through the election and been on people's minds.
Yeah, and I suppose the area that you're responsible for, the Waitemata ward, is where a lot of those issues are really at the forefront, aren't they? Because you've got the ports, the Auckland transport hubs are there, and a lot of the Panuku land holdings are in that area as well. So there really are some high pressure points there.
Yes, and the CCOs were set up to control a lot of the council business, and that was a very deliberate thing that Rodney Hyde did to kind of try and corporatise.
Good old Rodney, eh?
Yep, we can thank him for the Super City. So it's really, I mean, it's very timely. You know, we're entering into the 10th year of the Super City, and it's about time that we did do a big review of what's working and what isn't.
Of course, that review, to really have any effect, though, would need to be carried out by central government, wouldn't it? I mean, because it requires legislative change to really deal with those issues.
Not for all the CCOs. There's legislation with Auckland Transport and Ports of Auckland, but where you've got other CCOs like Panuku or regional facilities, they could be brought in-house just with a decision of council.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, what's your view on what should happen with those things? So we're getting straight into the big issues, but while we're there.
Well, I think there needs to be definitely around what is, well, first of all, identifying what are the issues, you know, what are the problems with this model? And a big one is around community engagement, around accountability, aligning what the CCOs do with community priorities. And then it's how can we change the framework, the model to be more effective, and particularly around accountability. Because how can we ensure there's more democracy, I think, in the process and the decision making?
So one of the things for you with your responsibilities, because you have the responsibility for that kind of central city area and for the Gulf Islands, and you know, we were just talking about how a lot of those CCO activities are focused on that kind of downtown area, and we see that at the moment. I mean, how do you see those tensions playing out? You know, you've got, I suppose, a move towards in the downtown area of, you know, there's all that work around transport with the rail link and so on, but there's also a real movement towards how to make that more of a kind of commercial and recreational area with all that waterfront development. Yet for us here on the island, that's a through route. You know, that's how we get places. Mm. You know, people want to get off the ferry, get on the train, get on a bus, get to the airport. Yeah. There's tensions there, aren't there?
There are, and there's also a huge range of benefits from that regional planning. So Auckland Transport, Auckland Council, the way in which downtown's being developed is part of a whole regional strategy to improve rapid transport, get people to the airport on a congestion-free network, expand how you can get around Auckland. So improving the ferry infrastructure in downtown is going to benefit Waiheke. And so that's one of the parts of the puzzle, and ensuring that it's very integrated and it is regionally focused as well. So, I mean, I am I'm elected from a ward, but I'm a regional councillor. So my focus absolutely has to be regional planning.
So where do you think there needs to be a shift in that regional direction, you know, from the last council to the new governing body? What are you hoping to support in terms of change of direction? Or is it more of a continuation of what's already set in place?
Well, I think a big challenge for this council is going to be how we respond to the climate emergency. So that was a resolution in June this year. But what does that actually mean? And we can't just keep doing things business as usual. And I think that's going to be one of the big issues that we have to confront around our planning. And how, for example, how do we move people away from single-use cars into actually getting on board with public transport? And there needs to be a whole lot of more work to do on that. And that's the investment. And a lot of it is underway, but it's, I think, an accelerating it. So that's going to be one of the big challenges of this council.
Yeah. In regard to the islands of the Gulf, you know, you will have spent some time, you know, in the election, and I suppose there's always been that kind of connection. You know, you've worked closely with Denise Roach on the Waitemata board. What do you see as the priorities for the islands in your ward?
Well, I'm really excited to be able to work with the local board on Waiheke, because I think that's where you have your local priorities are worked on with your local board. So what you want to ensure is that we have a really effective, strong local board. And then I can be a councillor that advocates for the priorities that the community identifies. So this new local board will be working on a local board plan, a brand new plan that will set the direction for 3 years. And as a councillor, I would like to be able to advocate for those priorities that are identified. And I mean, of course, I'm hearing quite a lot of that through the election and from talking to people on the island, but I'm still listening and learning in terms of what are those community priorities. But I guess some of the headline ones I see around housing, around the transport connections, the course with the ferries, getting that sorted, around tourism infrastructure, the environment. There's some big meaty issues here, and that's where I really want to be an effective councillor to be able to advocate for Waiheke.
I mean, having been a local board chair, you'll understand some of the frustrations of those local boards in trying to get their issues on the agenda and get their issues progressed. Now that you are on the governing body, and you bring that experience with you, I mean, what would you hope to do from the governing body side to give more autonomy and direction and authority to local boards?
So I have been on a local board for 9 years, so I actually know how a local board can get a whole lot of stuff done. Boards have got budget, they've got decision making, they've got responsibility for all the local stuff. So a big part of it is ensuring your local board is operating effectively. And I think you've got a really good team that have come onto this local board in the new term. And like I said, you know, it's for that local board to identify what the priorities are. And using the budget that's there and getting stuff done. And you want to ensure you have a councillor that's around the governing body table that can develop relationships with the organisation, with getting budget, if there's big, say, decisions that need to be made around the budget that's needed for projects that the local board can't fund, working in with central government, say, around housing, that might be an area where, as a councillor, I will be ensuring that we're talking to central government, talking to the agencies to actually get stuff done on the island.
Yeah, I want to come back to that housing issue, but just kind of, I suppose, on that relationship between councillor and local boards, you know, having been on that local board side, I mean, what do you see as the hallmarks of an effective relationship between those two parts of council?
Well, it's very much is the communication side. So I'm looking forward to sitting down with the local board and saying, right, what are your priorities that you want me to be advocating for? And understanding what those are, and then having really a lot of regular communication. And so I plan to be reporting monthly as well, because it's also, I want to be reporting back to the local board and the community about what I'm doing and being very open and transparent about that. Being here, I intend to be on the island as much as I can, so I'll be taking part in events here and in the consultations that the local board undertakes. I hope to be able to be part of that process, so I'm understanding what issues are coming up. And, big part of it is the communication.
Yeah. So let's you mentioned housing, so let's come back to that, because you've talked about the importance of, you know, say, social housing, elderly housing. But there's a whole lot of complexities to that, aren't there? I mean, because it's the island isn't treated in a specific way in that process. You know, someone puts up their hand for social housing, you know, it might be someone from town who ends up with a place on Waiheke. Yes. You know, there's people on Waiheke who put up their, you know, don't want to put up their hands for social housing because they're worried they'll be moved to town.
Yes, I've heard that, yeah, but that's a big one. I mean, it's very multifaceted in terms of the issues with housing and what the solutions might be, and different agencies to work with. But it could be anything from identifying council land where more social housing could be built and getting central government funding to make that happen. It could be how we work with Housing New Zealand to change the way that they do manage their wait lists, because that's exactly the problem you just mentioned. And it could be what we need to advocate for to help with the rental situation. That's about, you know, the security of tenure. I mean, some of that has to go through central government. And then there's also issues. One of the housing ones that I heard a lot about was the desire on Waiheke to be able to build tiny homes, and that you've got a lot of red tape and the consenting can be quite prohibitive. So what can we do from a council side to actually facilitate that and to identify, okay, if Waiheke wants to be treated quite uniquely, tiny homes could be a solution on big blocks of land where you don't want to develop intensively, but you could put perhaps tiny homes. Then what do we need to work on to make that happen?
Yeah, and I suppose that's something you're going to need to work through, isn't it? Because the governing body is often looking at, you know, citywide regulations, citywide rules or protocols, yeah. Whereas you've got a whole lot of areas that have quite unique needs and to work through.
Exactly, and that's what I heard. I was fortunate during the election campaign to be on the Housing Hui, where we talked about a whole range of issues. I mean, just one of them is at Living Waters, where they're providing emergency accommodation, and what are their needs there? And I mean, they need $150,000 for a new septic tank. Now, that to me seems very doable, that we can get that one sorted. And that's about having conversations with the right people and tapping into the right funding.
So one of the things that will happen during your 3-year term is the America's Cup. And that's going to bring a whole lot of these issues to the forefront. Disruptions to ferry services because of the racing courses, huge tourism influx, the dumping of the waste out by Great Barrier. But on the other hand, it's a huge economic boom for the city. Mm. So you've obviously been grappling with those issues through the local board. What's the pathway through for that to be successful and not to end up, you know, disrupting and adversely affecting huge numbers of people who live in the city and in the Gulf Islands?
Mm. Well, a lot of that work is already underway. That is, as you say, causing a lot of disruption and concern about what the impact's going to be. But it is working with the America's Cup team, which has been set up, and identifying how they can ensure that the event doesn't impact on locals having to do their day-to-day business, and particularly, like you say, about the ferry services and what we can do about that. So I'm keen to have those conversations. I mean, as a local board, we haven't been, we've been briefed, but not so much directly involved. Now I'm a councillor, I'll be able to have some more direct communication on that.
Yep. So, where's it gone? It was just in my head. I'll have to come back to it. I had something really great to ask you.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's really annoying. Hold on, give me a moment. It'll come. No, it's not. It will in a moment when I ask you about something else. So, jeepers. Let's go back to the climate emergency stuff. So, public transport's a key. What about environmental mitigation? You know, we've got Blackpool here, which is going underwater. We've got flooding issues that have happened in other parts of the island. what, you know, what do you see as being priorities or the needs for council to address those things?
Yeah. Well, we're getting into a situation where it's not going to be mitigation, it's going to be adaptation, and the realisation that we just, there are places that we're going to have to stop building, stop consenting for, and some hard decisions around that. There's also going to be who is going to be picking up the cost of where properties can't be insured any longer. That's not an easy one to resolve.
What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult to justify why ratepayers should pay the cost of insurance for individual homeowners, but what is the support that council's going to have to be to provide? But I mean, a lot of the homeowners are just going to have to take on the risk if they're building in the coastal environment.
Well, so I suppose, of course, some of them have been there,
yeah,
you know, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Some big issues to work through
there. Yeah, there are, definitely.
So I remember what it was, by the way, which, you know, one of the perennial issues for council is rates. You know, rates have been the centrepiece of the election. You know, I suppose it was a pretty decisive outcome in the end. But, you know, every time this comes through, you know, how do we keep rates in check? So, what's your perspective on what should be happening in terms of rating? I mean, is the bottom line no increases, capping increases, or is it, you know, that, hey, we need to be realistic and this is what things cost?
Yeah, well, I guess I would come from it from a slightly different way in that historically in Auckland we've had very low rates, and that has meant that we haven't invested in the infrastructure that we've needed, and rates have actually been kept artificially low. I know it feels like a lot of money that homeowners do pay for, well, everybody pays who lives in houses for rates. But if you think about the situation with poo still going in the harbour, that's because we didn't invest in the infrastructure because we didn't fund it through rates. So one of the challenges is how do we fund the infrastructure we need if we're not going to increase rates? And if you look at councils across New Zealand, Auckland's rates are one of the, in terms of increases, is one of the lowest increases that's happened in the last term, and the mayor's committed, I think, to no more than 3.5%. So that doesn't actually cover our cost of growth or all the infrastructure that we need. So there are different mechanisms that are being brought in to meet that funding gap, and one of them is the natural environment targeted rate. So that got voted on last term, and that's been the investment that we've been able to do in the Kauri dieback protection, it's been the pest control. And what I'm hearing is that people can see value for money for that targeted rate, because it was actually, I think, supported by about two-thirds majority.
So what about the argument that some of these costs should be met through efficiencies? And I mean, it does seem that you don't have to look very far to see inefficiencies in council processes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there has been a huge program of working through the efficiencies that can be met at council. And I don't have the numbers with me, but there's a lot of detail that you can go through in terms of looking at where there have been efficiencies and where council's reduced costs. I mean, one that is you hear a lot about is, do we have the right headcount? Is the right number of people delivering for council? And I guess you've got to balance that with, there's been a lot of increased work as well that we're asking council to do. So say, for example, there's a big increase in the number of resource consents that are being issued. Now you're going to need people to actually work on those resource consents.
Yeah. So sticking with the rates issue, people will have talked to you about the the residential accommodation rating. And the fact that, you know, there are parts of Auckland that are exempt from that, Rodney, Franklin, but not Waiheke.
Yeah.
What's your position on what should happen there?
Well, I think that needs to be reviewed going into the next annual budget. So early next year, there will be an opportunity to consult on the budget. And I've already talked to the mayor that I think that this for Waiheke needs to be looked at, because it's a bit of a blunt instrument of trying to pay for the costs of tourism. There are potentially other options, like say a bed tax might be fairer because of the way that that's spread across accommodation providers. And also it's the tourists paying for it, but that's something we would have to get through central government and I don't think at the moment has the support of our local MP. So, you know, I think there could be other mechanisms, but again, it's how do we fund the costs that's there without putting it on all ratepayers.
So I know you're going off to the Cycle Festival in a moment, so just wanted to ask you a little bit about the, you had your inauguration, and people I think are aware that there's always a lot of jockeying for position within council and, you know, and kind of position taking and so on. I mean, what's that been like so far? You're being lobbied intensely by these people, that people, support this person for deputy, take this position on that.
Well, the mayor has that decision-making authority that he sets up the committees, and he's already decided that Bill Cashmore is going to continue as deputy mayor, and he gets to appoint the committee chairs. So that's all going to be announced on Monday. But I'm looking forward to having some meaty roles in there. Every councillor had the opportunity to go in and speak to the mayor and talk about what they wanted.
What do you want?
Well, I absolutely want to get stuck into the climate action framework and how we. That needs to be finalised for Auckland with some really strong targets. The environmental space, it's definitely been a passion of mine. I'm keen to get, I mean, all councillors are going to be, there's committees of the whole, so transport planning, all areas of interest.
And you've been a big advocate of kind of cycling and walking infrastructure as well through your time on the local board, of course, haven't you?
Yeah, but definitely keen to continue being an advocate for more opportunity. I mean, more opportunities for transport choice, however people want to get around, whether it's on the bus, cycling, walking, scootering.
And no doubt soon you'll get to enjoy the dealing with the Matiatia issue.
Yes, it's another one. lots to unpack there.
Yeah, but, it never seems to go away. Yeah. Look, I know you have to get off to the Cycling Festival, so thank you very much for joining us this morning. We look forward to more conversations over the next 3 years.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to tour de Waiheke today.
Yeah, so I'm talking to Waitemata and Gulf Islands Councillor Pippa Coombe. Thank you.
Thank you.